better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. You hear that? What was the fault in it? Was there fault in it with God? No. The fault in it was with men and women, sinners, the household of Israel, that had even been shown all the signs and wonders of God. I mean, they saw God on the mount to the extent that they could stand it, and they still were not reformed to keep what God had commanded. So it was with fault because it relied upon the doing of man. For God finding fault with Israel, he saith, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Even then, while he was dealing with them over the course of time, and we're going to see the part of the course of time that the Lord was dealing with them, he said, "I'm going to make a new covenant with them." Again, nothing takes God by surprise. This is delving into the depth of his wisdom in dealing with mankind. It comes to a point that the Lord says there needs to be a new covenant. Now, God always knew that there would be another covenant. Okay? And even in the Old Testament scriptures, Lord willing, we're going to take a look at how the Lord knew that there was going to be another covenant. Okay? But in dealing with this of man and knocking down every argument of man, the Lord, when he says finding fault with them, their disobedience, he says, "I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt." Okay, we've seen that. "Because they continued not in my covenant," they didn't keep their end of the deal, "and I regarded them not." He said, "I didn't honor it. I didn't honor it, saith the Lord." Verse 10. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days." Now understand, the Lord dealing with Israel is the beginning of the Lord dealing with the world. I believe that is most clear. He deals with Israel because what did Israel, what did the Lord Jesus say about Israel? She held the keys of the kingdom. And was there not provision for a Gentile to enter into Israel? There was. And the word of God was at hand there. The oracle of God was at hand there. And to where we come to the New Testament times, where a man even like Cornelius is stirred unto curiosity and unto desire to know the living and true God Jehovah, being a man raised in paganism. Okay? And so Israel is the beginning. The Lord dealing with the Jews is the beginning of the Lord dealing with the earth, with all of mankind. And dribbled in there, you think about, and we don't have time, it's such an expanse of a subject, but remember all the references in the Old Testament scriptures about the Gentiles looking to the Lord too? See, he started with Israel, if you will, with this first covenant. You know, it didn't work. So if it's not going to work with Israel, who saw all of his glory and his power and his majesty, it's not going to work with the world. So then there's a necessity for a second covenant. And so he says here, he found fault with them, and he said, "I'm not going to make a covenant according to what I gave their fathers." Verse 10, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord." Listen. "I will put my laws into their mind." You hear that? The second covenant is what God's going to do. What do they have to do? From the standpoint of the second testament, the second covenant, they have nothing to do. I'm talking about doing with hands and with feet. Okay? I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be unto them a God, and they shall be unto me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord, For all in the end shall know me, from the least unto the greatest. We want to go over to the Old Testament scriptures where the writer here of Hebrews 8 is referring to, and invite you to turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 31. Now, first, I want us to consider, and I hope that you know, and we'll try to make it clear, Jeremiah, and this account of Brother Jeremiah, is it during the time of Saul? Is it during the time of David? Is it during the time of Solomon? No, the time of Jeremiah is way on down the line of the disobedience of Judah. Jeremiah's time comes in the time that the Chaldeans are besieging Jerusalem. And remember how we read over there in Hebrews where the Lord said, let me grab that and read that to you. Verse 7 of Hebrews 8, where we read, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should have been no place sought for the second." Verse 8, "For finding fault with them, he saith, Israel has been divided into Judah and Israel, the divided kingdom, from the time of Solomon. Solomon's son reigning over Judah, and Jeroboam, his servant, reigning over Israel. And we saw on Wednesdays in that chart that I gave you, there's some up here if you'd like one, about all the kings of Israel were just wicked. And then Judah had good kings and bad kings and good kings and bad kings. And Brother Jeremiah's on down there where the Chaldeans are going after Judah. The Assyrians have already taken Israel into captivity. And so we have here... in Jeremiah 31, the Lord coming, if you will, in time to that consideration. And when is it? It's in disobedience, and it's in judgment by the Lord of his nation unto their scattering. And this is when he says that. Because see, there's no help and no hope for Israel to keep up their end of the covenant, is there? Jeremiah chapter 31, verse number 31. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord," and this entire chapter is just a blessing, and we don't have time to read it. This is the chapter in verse number 3 where the Lord says, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Because see, this second covenant is not stipulated upon what man will do. And so he says here in verse 31, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband to them, saith the Lord." Verse 33. "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more." Not a covenant based on what men would do and accomplish, but a covenant, a testament based on what God would do, period. And what he would write and what he would put. We come to the next chapter. We pick it up in verse number 36. Again, these are good chapters to read in their entirety. And the return of Israel being brought back under this New Testament. In chapter 32, we pick it up in verse number 36. And here the scripture says, "And now therefore thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, whereof ye say it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger, and in my fury, and in great wrath. And I will bring them again into this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. Verse number 38, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. Verse 40, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts. See, hear that? I will put my fear in their hearts, and they shall not depart, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. And fields shall be bought in this land, whereof ye say it is desolate without man or beast. It is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Men shall buy fields for money and sacrifice evidences and seal them, and take witness in the land of Benjamin and in the places about Jerusalem and in the cities of Judah and in the cities of the mountains and in the cities of the valley and the cities of the south. For I will cause their captivity return, saith the Lord. So the first covenant given unto Israel, the law by virtue of that given unto Israel, this small sample of mankind given unto them, they said they would keep it, but they did not. And so if Israel could not keep it, then mankind doesn't stand a chance of keeping it. Okay? You understand? So the Lord says, I'm going to make a new covenant. And what's he do? He starts with Israel because, listen, think about it. The Lord Jesus came unto his own. See, it started with Israel. And he came into Israel, and you know what? This New Testament works because it all speaks of not what men would do in their part of the deal, but what God has done ultimately in giving his own son. And you know what? It worked. And not that we're surprised that it works, but understanding of the Lord dealing with this and his wisdom, the New Testament, the second covenant, it works. And so what happened? It went from Israel the Lord had all members in his first church that were Jews. And it went out, the mission of that church, that institution, the institution of the nation didn't accomplish it with the first covenant, did they? But the institution of his church, because the New Testament's all based on what the Lord would do, has gone out from Israel into all the world. Even to where here, some 2,000 years later, we got a Gentile church over here on the other side of the world in Olmsted, Kentucky, and you and I have been saved and are members of it here today. Why? It's all based on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. Isn't that something? We read there in Jeremiah 32. Let's look over at Ezekiel chapter 11. In Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, you remember that when we studied about that. Jeremiah was writing at the time of the siege of the Chaldeans and before, okay? Ezekiel is writing, and the Lord visits him in a time where they're in captivity in Babylonia. See, they're at the end. Israel has run out their opportunity and ability to do their part in keeping the first covenant. It's done. It's over. It's wasted. They disobeyed and the Lord chastised them. And look what sin does. The blessing of the Lord at hand upon a nation that he brought them into the land of milk and honey and blessed them with houses that they didn't build and fields that they didn't sow and harvest that they didn't put the crop in. And God gave them everything. And you know what? As a whole, as a nation, they were not reformed by that. So they sin against the Lord. And what's that do? It moves them farther away from the blessing. It moves them farther away from the ability to be able to get right. And then they send some more, and then they're retrieved, and they come back. But you know what? When they come back, they don't ever come back as far as they were at the beginning before they transgressed. And their children learn more about how to sin and how to go away from God and all that. And then they go away, and then they go away, and then Solomon does his sinning like he does. And then the kingdom is divided. You see what I'm saying? It just gets further and further away to where now they're taken in captivity in and of themselves. There's no way that they can get back, and there's no way that they can keep up their end of the covenant. So what does the Lord do? Well, here in time, he thinks and mentions and says what he's going to do. Chapter 11 of Ezekiel, verse number 14. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel holy, are they whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, get you far from the Lord, let unto us is this land given in possession. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Verse 17, therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of all out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. See that? Well, see what the Lord's doing? This is this covenant. And it will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall meet my people, and I will be their God. I will give them one heart, verse number 19. See, not a covenant that's based on them doing, keeping up their end of the bargain, but a covenant based totally upon God and what God would do for them. They shall be, latter part of verse 20, they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. So, let's read on in verse number 22. I'm sorry, a different chapter. Let's go to Ezekiel 36, rather. So here the Lord, even in their captivity, says, I am going to do these things for them. Now, the thing is, you say, well, Brother Jim, we're not Israel. And right, the church is not Israel. But the thing is it started with Israel, didn't it? It started with the Jews and is going out into all the world because the New Testament, the New Covenant, works. Why? It's all based on the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of what Jesus Christ has done, he's made the church to ultimately go out beyond the nation and reach all of the Gentiles with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by what Jesus has done also, he's going to take and he's going to redeem his nation too. The very salvation that has saved you and me is the very salvation that will save the nation too. Because why? The testament, the covenant based on what God will do and has done is the only one that will work. Why? Because we're bad off as people. We are depraved. We need a Savior that can do something for us that we can't do. And you know what? God has made a nation, and he's going to have a nation. And God has determined that he will fellowship with mankind. And not only will he just fellowship and be our friends, but in salvation, he has made us his children. Not just a nation that he birthed, but even of the heathen, the Lord has given inheritance unto his son. Oh, what a wonder it is. In Ezekiel chapter 36, we read in verse number 21, but I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord your God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen. See, his own nation profaning it among the heathen. He will save them, and he will save and has saved the heathen. God will be glorified, which you have profaned in the midst of them. There in the midst of verse 23, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from your idols will I cleanse you. Verse 26, and a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will save you from all your uncleanness, and will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, and ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. And ye shall remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Repentance. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cleanse you to dwell in the cities, and in the waste shall be builded. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas I lay it desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced or inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. A covenant. Not based on what men would keep up their end of, but what the Lord would do. Holiness, by virtue of the power of the Lord working within men and women, girls and boys. A New Testament based upon our Lord and all that he would do unto us. In Hebrews 8, remember how the scripture here said a covenant based on better promises? See, the Lord has come unto us, and in this New Testament, he says, repent of your sins and believe and trust in me. That's not doing anything with your hands or your feet or your body. But it's receiving him and believing him and trusting him in what he's promised, what he said he will do. And he has done it. Hebrews 8, verse number 12. Look here at the end of this. And it was already, we read it over there, I believe, in Jeremiah or Ezekiel. He says here, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousnesses, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. We're not going to be saved by the old covenant. We're only saved by the New Testament. And that is found only in our Lord Jesus Christ. In conclusion, you remember how we read over there again in Exodus 24, verses 7 and 8. And he took the book of the covenant, Moses did, and read it in the audience of the people, reviewed it, made sure they heard every word. And they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words, is sealed by the blood of an animal. But in Luke chapter 22, verse number 20, our Lord Jesus said, as he's instituting the Lord's Supper, likewise also the cup after the supper Jesus took, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. What do you think? Which one do you need? Which one do we want? Which old or New Testament? Which do you want? One sealed with the blood of an animal? No way. Won't work. Depends on you and me, and we're not dependable. One sealed with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, yes, indeed. Old or New Testament, which do you need? Remember what we read here in Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 7? For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for a second. For the second. And in verse number 12, as we just read, the Lord says, for I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness. It's all dependent upon our Lord and what He has done. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Why? We understand now by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ washing sinners clean and His righteousness imputed unto us.